Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. The Bible says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. And I'm so glad that you are breathing and that you are praising the Lord. We want to thank God once again for our awesome, amazing praise team. Put your hands together and thank them for their ministry and for their service. Praise God. And then also, you cannot leave out this incredible band, these individuals, these men of God, young men. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. I don't know about you, but you ought to feel in the presence of God at this moment. You ought to feel the angel's wing brushing by your pew, by your chair, feeling, knowing that God is in this place. And we serve an amazing God. We serve an incredible God. We serve an awesome God. And I'm so glad today he gives us the privilege to worship him. Somebody ought to say, thank the Lord. Amen. We get the privilege. You know, we serve an awesome God, an amazing, omnipotent, omnipresent, immutable, all-powerful, never-changing, compassionate, loving God who gives us the joy and the privilege to enter into his courts of praise. And I don't know about you, but anything could have happened this week. Anything could have happened this morning. Something could have gone wrong, but I want to remind you right now that something could have gone wrong. Obviously and evidently, a lot of things went right because you are here. Amen. Breathing and clothed in your right mind. Somebody could be in the hospital right now. Somebody could be in a morgue right now. Somebody could be in a funeral right now. But right now, we are worshiping God, blessing him. This is not a wake. This is not a funeral. You ought to bless him because he's been good to you. And you ought to praise him because he kept you one more day. Amen. I'm excited about that. He doesn't have to do one more thing. If he doesn't do anything else, he's blessed me already because we're here in the house of God. And many times I say to myself, if I'm going to go out, it ought to be in the house of God. I don't want to go out being angry and mad and upset with somebody during the week. So if it's going to happen, it can happen now. Please let the button turn off and let it turn on, but I want it to be on right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Well, today, just for a little while, we just want to look to the Word of God. You know, we've been blessed by way of our music. I don't know about you, but we have the best amazing praise team in the country, don't we? Amen. Amen. I want to thank Chiron and the crew. Man, when I get to heaven, I want to sing like that. I don't know about you. I want to sing like that. While he's singing, I just start singing. I sometimes go behind and get the mic. Think it might be the mic, but it ain't the mic. It's just him. But God is good. And to the praise team, thank you so much for the melodious sounds that come out of these brothers. Amen. My wife hit me and said, ain't they good? I said, you know it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, just for a little while, we just want to look into the Word of God. It's about 12:14. We won't keep you long. I see they have the clock up there. About 30 minutes, we'll be in and out. And if you're not blessed by the grace of God, we'll give you your offering back. Is that all right? Yeah. Well, praise God, but God is good, and to those who are watching online, we're just excited to just look into the Word of God. There's so much going on around us, but we know that we serve a God who's coming back soon, and one day he's going to come back and get his children. And all this is about is we're in the fitting room preparing for his coming, and we know he's coming back. And the Bible says when he comes back, every eye shall see him. Nobody will have to guess. Nobody will have to run. Nobody need a ticket to New York or California. The Bible says every eye shall see him. And so we're looking forward to that day when the clouds will roll back and we'll see him coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as he said already, who is the King? The Lord of Hosts. That's who he is. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we prepare to get into the Word of God. Father, once again, it is our privilege and our honor and our joy to come here. Lord, we have been summoned here by your grace. And the only reason why we have not been consumed is because of your mercy endureth forever and ever. And now I pray that you would move me out of the way so that people would see Jesus, hide me behind the cross, and that your word will be lifted up. It will be made so plain and so simple that a child cannot err. And whatever we're going through right now, may your sweet Holy Spirit meet us where we are. And may we see the love of God. May we understand and know that without a doubt, you care for us with an everlasting care. And your ultimate goal is to ransom us and save us in your kingdom. So bless us now as we open your word. And we'll give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles or your device, we'd like for you to turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And the Bible read, beginning with verse 19. Then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Jesus obviously has a way of sharing with us the power of his word. And the blessing is, one begins to ask, how can I become a part of the family? Each one of us were born into a family biologically with parents, mother and father. Whether they were able to be there or not, the reality is your existence is not an accident. You were created for a purpose and you were designed with a mission. But this awesome God, in his love and his mercy, decided to bring you on the stage. We were born into a family with a biological father and a biological mother, and many of us have drama and trauma because the way we were raised or in the environment we came up in. Some of us did not have the privilege and the opportunity, maybe for some, to have a caring, loving father or a nurturing mother. But the reality is, God wanted you here and decided to do it through a biological process that he gave to us called procreation. It was his desire to create Adam and Eve. It was his purpose, in fact, to repopulate the planet, this earth, with human beings made in the image of God. And I'm so glad to know right now that I'm not a monkey's cousin and a cousin not to a monkey. I'm so glad that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made with God's intention that you have on you the stamp and the image of God. And God wanted you and God desired for you to be here, and therefore you showed up. But in all the issues of life comes problems and heartache and heartbreak. And I'm so glad that as the people of God, we can open up the Bible and we can pull back the curtains and find out what time of day it is, so that we can not only understand why we are here, but understand the purpose of our existence. In fact, when you begin to read the Bible, it can be so confusing from sometimes, because from Genesis to Revelation, it is a love letter that God sent to you and me to give us an understanding of who he is and what he wants from us. The word of God is simple and it is plain and clear. And ultimately, God desires fellowship with each one of us. In fact, it was from the very beginning, after Adam and Eve sinned, that they were kicked out of the garden. And the Bible says sin has separated us from God. But it has always been God's passion. It has always been God's desire. It has always been his desire to be with you and be with me. In fact, he says in Exodus 25, verse 8, make me a sanctuary for the purpose that I might dwell with them. You see, God not only wants to dwell around you, but he wants to dwell in you. He wants to be with you. He wants to be in your life and my life. And the fact is, he's decided to do this by communicating to us his word. As I quote, with the earliest history of man, Satan began his efforts to deceive our race. He who has incited rebellion in heaven, he desired to bring the inhabitants of the earth to unite with him in warfare against the government of God. It is the devil's desire for you and me to unite with him in a warfare against God. And God says, I want you to understand that I love you and I want a relationship with you. But the enemy of our souls desires for us to fight against God and war against God. And therefore, he has come knowing that he has but a short time. In fact, I'm quoting, it says, he desires to bring the inhabitants of the earth to unite with him in his warfare against the government of God. And Adam and Eve had been perfectly happy in obedience to the law of God. What I have discovered in my short life, well, 64 is short, just a drop in the bucket. What I've discovered is that we are at our best when we obey God. I thought somebody would have said amen. You're at your best when you are obedient to the law of God. You are just doing what God wants you to do. And when you do what God asks you to do, you find your greatest peace, your greatest joy, and your greatest happiness is wrapped up in obeying the voice of God. I can't say that enough. In other words, our greatest joy and our greatest peace comes when we obey the voice of God. And most of the trouble, in fact, all the trouble that I have ever gotten into in my life is because I've deviated somehow from thus saith the Lord, from the obedience of God's word. And when we get in trouble, most of the time it's because somehow we have come up with some thought or conjecture that I know more than God. Stepping outside the word of God, not believing in the word of God, but there's power in God's word. And I've stopped by here to tell you that no matter what you think, the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Therefore, I can't think my way out of my problem. I cannot conjecture a thought how to get out of my problem. If I don't have thus saith the Lord, if I don't get a word from the Lord, I'm stuck. If I don't hear from God about my situation, then we're in trouble. But I'm so glad today, right now, that God always leaves evidence of his mercy. He leaves crumbs of his goodness, and you don't have to be in the dark. In fact, in Luke chapter 8, it is here for a purpose. Jesus begins sharing with us the power of God's word and why it is so necessary to understand thus saith the Lord. You know, in other words, it's one thing to be able to live as a Christian, but it's another thing to live with the power of God in your life that gives you the ability to walk right and talk right and be right. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to know how powerful this word is. Is it able to keep me? Is it able to hold me up? Is it able to get me through a problem or a storm in life? How powerful is the word of God? Well, in fact, he gives a parable. If you look with me in Luke chapter 8, and I want to begin setting this up in verse 4. Luke chapter 8, he decides to show us different people and how they respond to the word of God and what happens to their lives. In other words, you don't have to guess, you don't have to wonder, but the way we appropriate ourselves to God's word will determine the outcome of our lives, how we respond to the word of God. And so the Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 4, and when a great multitude had gathered and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by parable. He spoke by what, everybody? Parable. That's found in Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. And when a great multitude gathered and came to him from every city. In other words, when Jesus began to speak, it's almost like E.F. Hutton. When he opens his mouth, everybody want to hear from the Lord. Why? Because there's power in the word of God. I promise you, there's power in the word of God. However, he begins sharing a parable to illustrate that the power that's in the word is not the problem, but it's the ground that it falls on. In other words, everybody will hear the word of God, but how we appropriate, how we respond to God's word will determine the outcome of our lives, whether we can bear fruit or not. For it says, a sower went out to sow some seeds, and he sowed some seeds, and some of the seeds, the Bible says, in verse 5, fell by what, everybody? The wayside. And it was trampled down, and birds of the air devoured it. And then the word of God says, some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And then some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up, and it choked out. But others fell on good ground, and the Bible says, and they brought forth 100-fold. And when he said to these things, they cried out. He said, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Bible says, or the word of God. Now, the reason why he spoke in parables, because there are some people who hear the word of God, he wanted them to know that they needed to dig a little deeper. He wanted them to know it's not just hearing the word of God, but it is doing the word of God that brings power. But then he begins to explain the parable, and I want to get to the question, how is God's word so powerful and reliable? Can I depend on it? Can I really depend on God's word? You know, some people think the Bible is an outdated book. It was written for those sometime in the past. It's an old relic. I don't really have to live by thus saith the Lord. I can order my own steps. I can live my own life. I can do my own thing. Well, I want to remind us today that there's a reason why God gave us these 66 books. I'm glad he didn't give us more than that, because some of us got a problem with the 66. But the Bible was given for a purpose. But he says, when the word of God is given, this is what happened. He says, now the parable is this. Some of the seed fell by the word, and by the wayside are the ones who hear the word, and the devil comes and take it away. In other words, he says, you can hear the word of God, but you hear the word of God, but before you are able to assimilate and receive it in your heart, the enemy sends somebody along to send doubt so that you begin to not believe God's word. And that's the reason why you got to be careful of the voices you hear, because every voice is not from God. You've got to be able to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus said it plainly, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He sets this up in Luke chapter 8 to show us that why we need to know the word of God, because it's not the seed, but it's the ground. Notice what he says in verse 12. Those that by the wayside are the ones who hear the word, and the devil comes. Well, you know, when it says the devil comes, it's when the devil sends distractions that will cause us to doubt God's word. For instance, the wayside hearers are those who hear the word, and somehow deceptive voices are heard, and we begin to doubt God's word. Can I really rely on God? Do I really need to go to church? Do I really need to pray? Do I really need to follow the word of God? That's the wayside hearer. They hear the word, but some distraction takes from them the ability to really believe the word of God. And then the second person is the one, the word falls on the rock, are those who hear the word. They receive the word with joy. They're excited about it. They shout about it in church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. They hear the word, but the word doesn't take root. The rocks get in the way, and therefore the word doesn't have root and depth in the believer's heart. And therefore, those who hear it, the word falls on the rock, are those who rejoice for a while, but then when trials come, they give up, throwing the flag. And then verse 14, now the ones who fell among thorns, those are the ones who hear the word, they go out, and the cares of life and the deceitfulness of sin chokes out the word. In other words, they hear the word of God, but then the cares of life begin to consume them. And you know how life is? Life will be lifing. Life comes in at all angles. I mean, really, sometimes pressure comes in and you don't know why. You have a pity party. Why me, oh Lord? I'm going through all of this. Trouble comes, problem comes, heartache comes, desperation comes, and the devil pushes us to despondency and despair. And that's what it means when the word is heard, and the thorns, in other words, it chokes out the word of God, and the cares and the pleasure of life, they bring no fruit to maturity. They hear the word, they want to do the word, but some things in life begins to choke out the word of God. And that's why you and I got to press towards the mark. We've got to push. We've got to keep our eyes stayed on him, that he might keep us in perfect peace. But I love Luke chapter 8, because the shout is not in how the word falls on the different ground, but the shout is going to be when the Bible says he asked him, look, your mother and your brother are looking for you. And then he says, hold up. I'm going to tell you really who my mother and my brothers are. I'm going to tell you who they are. But he's giving an introit, or he's giving an introduction about the word of God. So you've got to read Luke chapter 8, because Luke chapter 8 has a complete understanding of why we need the word, and then how powerful the word is. I mean, when I started reading this, I got excited, because God never leaves you in the dark. He always gives us evidence of his goodness and his mercy, and he gives us the reason why we can trust him. You know, it's amazing that a human being who has never seen God, has never touched God, but you can trust God. That's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Listen, brothers and sisters, Satan's envy was so excited as he looked upon the beautiful pair, Adam and Eve, in the garden. He determined to cause their fall. He wanted to separate them from God. And not only that, he not only wanted to separate them from God, but he wanted to bring them under his power. Let me tell you right now, the devil desires to separate you from God, and not only separate you from God, but bring you under his power so that you don't become that person that God created you to be. See, in other words, you are moving to a destiny. You are moving to a purpose. You are moving to a design of fulfillment of the reason why you were created. And the only way you can really understand that, you've got to go back to the blueprint. You've got to go back to the Bible. You've got to hear the voice of God speak to you and say, this is the way, walk in it. And I'm only giving a commercial about the power of his word. And notice, watch this. He says, but ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, they keep it and bear fruit. Now, good ground hearers are not good because they've done something good. They're good because they accept it as the word of God. They don't debate with God. They don't argue with God. They don't lecture God. They just accept the word of God as the word of God. Now, you might be asking then, how do I know that I can accept God's word? How will it make a difference in my life? What will happen when I begin to believe the word of God? Now, I'm telling you, there's no different from us than somebody else out there in the world. But what happens to your life, you're on a trajectory of being transformed by the power of God because an epiphany went off in your heart, the seed was dropped in your spirit, and you begin to dare to obey God. But when you begin to try to obey God, problems come. Trials come. Why? Because the devil can't stand you because you look so much like your daddy. I've got to remind you that you made in the image of God. And every time he looks at you, he becomes angry because he knows that God loves you with an everlasting love. He is graving you on the palms of your hand and his hands. And you got to know without a doubt, he loves me and he wants me and he cares about me. In other words, had Satan revealed himself in his real character, he would have been repulsed. You know, the devil doesn't come up to you and tell you, I'm the devil. I mean, it'd be nice if he did. You get to praying right away. You'll start fasting right away. But the devil comes through circumstances. The devil comes through people. The devil comes through events in your life to try to distract you from obeying God. He would have been repulsed, for Adam and Eve had been warned against his dangerous foe, but he worked in the dark. I'm going to tell you, the devil works in the dark. He doesn't show his hand. Concealing his purpose, I'm quoting, that he might more effectually accomplish his object, employing as a medium the serpent, then a creature of fascinating appearance addressed himself to Eve. Now what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the word of God falls on different ground. Had Eve understood that the power was in obedience to God, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in right now. Every time the enemy comes, it always comes to undermine what God said. Now, throughout this week, I'm going to give you, you're going to have a test. Throughout this week, the devil is going to come and undermine what God said. I promise you. You will know, thus saith the Lord, but the enemy will come in and try to undermine what God has said. How do I know it's an enemy? Whenever it comes against what God said, period. And if you have the ability to shut it down, you'll be all right. But most of us, we entertain a conversation about what I know is not right to see how I can do it from not being wrong. Okay, watch this. This is what the enemy said. Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Had Eve refrained from entering into an argument with the tempter, she would have been safe. She would have been safe. So in other words, most of the time, it's when I begin to question what I know to be right when God said it and I have a problem with it, and in my spirit, I'm trying to rationalize with it. So I'm trying to kind of figure it out. How can I figure this out? So the bottom line is we can't figure it out, but we can just trust what God said. That's our challenge. Can you trust what God says. Because when you trust what God says, I'm telling you, I'm going to give you three examples in a moment. It is found in Luke chapter 8. I'm going to give you three examples how and why when you trust what God says, what God will do. When we are able to trust the Lord, when we can't trace him, when we're able to believe in God, when I don't feel like God is with me, when I'm able to say, Lord, your will, not my will be done. When I'm able to say, I must decrease so he can increase. When I'm able to trust God beyond how I feel, God begins to open up doors and God begins to do things that I cannot understand. Why? Because there's power in the word of trusting God. It's that simple. As Christians, we make it difficult. Because we talk about it's a little gray area. No, it's not gray. It's either black or white. And most human beings don't like that. I mean, we're wired to try to do it our way. We're selfish. I mean, every now and then I've got to have conversations with my grandsons. And I try to tell them, y'all have got to have love for each other. And it shows up at an early age. And the problem is, the older you get, you become more professional on how to keep it from showing. Not you all, with another church. You have the ability to disguise it. You learn how to have more decorum about it. When you're young, you don't care. You say what you want to say. You do what you want to do, and you want it because the world revolves around me. I want it, and it's mine. My youngest grandson, he has a temper tantrum, falls out, and I try to tell my older grandsons, you all could use more diplomacy if you just understand. He's going to forget about it. He only wants it right now because he sees it. And they get to arguing and going back and forth. And I say, that's how we are as Christians. We are selfish. We want all we want. We want it now. I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you. But something inside of us, we just want what we want. And the only thing that can regulate us is God's word. And if it wasn't for the word of God regulating us, we would be in trouble. There would be no common denominator. But what allows us to come in here in the spirit of truth is to be able to worship him because we all agree that God is right. Ultimately, what God is trying to do, he's trying to pull us, he's trying to draw us to a place where we get to believe God's word no matter what. And when we trust God no matter what, God says, let me give you examples and reasons why you can trust me. Well, the question is asked in this pericope, how do we know God's word is able? How do I know God can really do it? I hear a lot of people talk about it. I hear a lot of people say he can. What evidence can you give me that God's word is powerful enough to do what he said he's going to do? See, that's the first step of a believer. You got to believe God's word. You got to trust God's word. I can't say it enough. It's not about how hype I get in the church. It's not about how I feel. Yeah, you ought to feel good about worship. You ought to have a feel good when you're in a relationship. I don't know about you, but it's nothing like being in a relationship with somebody you love. You feel it. But it's not always feelings. When you got to wash the dishes, it ain't feelings. When you got to take out the trash, it ain't feelings. When you got to get up and go to work when you don't feel like it ain't feelings. It's a principle. I'm doing this because I love you. I'm doing it because I feel. In other words, God wants us as believers to get to the point where it's not about feelings, because feelings can be deceptive. One day you get up, you're feeling like I'm on top of the world. I'm feeling good. Next day you wake up, you wish you feel like the world is on top of you. What do you do when you feel like that? You've got to go back to what God says. His promises are true. He'll never let you down. He'll never deceive you. He'll never mislead you. I've got to go back to the word of God. That's why Jesus, when he was confronted by the devil, he said, it is written. He dropped the mic. He didn't parley with sin. He didn't play with sin. I want to get there. I want to be able to, when I'm watching something on the TV and it comes across. So, see, this is what we do. This is what the devil. See, the Bible says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God tempts no man, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away with inside of him. So here I am going through the station, watching something. All of a sudden, something catches my eye. Opposed to keep going, we go back. Okay, I go back. And when I go back and see it, how long do I meditate on it? How long do I watch it? How long do I entertain the thought is the question. See, if they let the devil entertain the thought, then I become it becomes deceptive. Notice here, she ventured to parley with him and fell a victim to his wiles. It is thus that many are still overcome. They doubt and argue concerning the requirements of God. And instead of obeying the divine commands, they accept human theories, which but disguises the devices of Satan. See, I got to be careful, listen to me, because I'm always going to want to figure out something else because my sinful nature. The Bible says the sinful man is not subject to the law of God. I can't listen to me to figure it out. I've got to have an authoritative word that supersedes my feelings, my thoughts, and anybody else. It has to be objective. That's why God did not leave this thing to accident. That's why when we read here, the word of God says the parable of the revealed light. Now notice what he says here. Watch this. Verse 16, Luke chapter 8, verse 16. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but he sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. In other words, God wants you to see the light. You see, in other words, we look with our eyes, but we see with our brain. But in order to see and have information dispensed to us through the retina, you have to have light. So God gives light, but then once we get light, the choice has to be made by us. Notice what it says in verse 17, for nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, now verse 18 is where it is. Therefore, take heed how you hear. Take heed to how you hear. That's verse 18. Whoever has to him. Now, I couldn't understand this verse, and it kind of confused me, but listen to what it says. Please, listen to what it says. Verse 18. Therefore, take heed how you hear. Now, what's amazing is that they're talking about light, but then now he's talking about audible, the sound. Be careful what you hear. Now, again, notice in verse 16, 17, they're talking about light. But then in verse 18 of Luke chapter 8, therefore, take heed how you hear. You see that? In other words, he says, wait a minute, I thought it was about light. No, it's more than just light. It's how you hear. Light is what gives information, and information actually comes through the audible of hearing, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. So evidently, he's talking about God's word. Now, follow me now. Verse 18, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. Okay, to whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away. I'm going to read that again. Now, I need you to understand, because here it says, therefore, take heed how you hear. In other words, take heed how you keep hearing the word of God, because how you hear the word of God and appropriate yourself to the word of God will determine and depend on how much of more of the word of God you're going to get. The day will come when there will be a famine in the land, and the famine will not be food and water, but it's going to be the bread, the word of God. We're going to move away from the objective word of God to people's opinions and feelings eventually. If we're not careful, we're going to be living in a time when the word of God will be so discarded that men's theories and thoughts will become the dominating force. And we find that even now in the life we are living, in the political scene, in the world we see, we know it's going to happen. Even inside the doors of the church, there's argument even now about speaking in tongues. Y'all hearing that? Now, what does the Bible say? That's what you got. What does God's word say? That's the question. What does God's word say? I don't have to argue. I don't have to fuss. How many of us ever go into a dark room and start arguing with the darkness? debating about how dark it is, the intensity. Wow, it's dark in this room, and it's so dark in here. You don't have to argue with darkness. All you've got to do is turn on the light, and darkness dissipates, and the light begins to shine. You don't need to know more about darkness. All you need to know is turn on the light, the truth of God's word, and it will dispel darkness. All I need to know is, thus saith the Lord. In other words, how do I know I can trust God's word? And he gives us these examples, and I'm going to be finished right here. You can read it more, but notice it says this. After he says that, for whoever has, to him more will be given. You know why that's the case? In other words, you have what you have because you appreciate it, and God says, because of that, I'm going to give you more. Now, get that. In other words, because you appreciate walking in the light, God says, I'm going to give you more. That's what the text says. Verse 18, you got to read it yourself. Therefore, take heed. This is the New King James Version. It says, how you hear. Why? Why take heed how you hear? Because as you appreciate what you hear and begin to obey what you hear, then God says, to him, more will be given. And the reason why God doesn't want to give us more than what we can appreciate, if he gives me more and I don't appreciate it, it's going to be more intimidating, or it's going to be more evidence that's going to be held against me in the day of judgment. So God says, incrementally, I'll give you more light as you appreciate the light that you have. Now, if you're arguing about the light you have, why are you going to want more light? So if I'm appreciating it, like God says, oh, there are mysteries now I want to share with you. There's more I want to show you. I want to, because see, God doesn't want to have to be known as somebody that force you, push you, impose his way on you. He says, no, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man open the door, I'll come in. I'm not going to push the door open. I'm not going to demand you. I'm going to just appeal to you. If you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If you just open up your heart, I'll begin to show you blessings and mysteries. I begin to pour out so many blessings you cannot receive them, but I only want it if you want it. I can't impose my way on you. That's why I made you with the power of choice. You got to want this. You got to desire this. And as you desire it, as the heart panteth after the water brook, as your soul pants more for God, I promise you, God will show up. God will show out in your life. He will give you more than you can appreciate or even ask for. He waiting on us. He says, therefore, for whoever has, if you got something, you're going to get more. But then the next verse says this, the same verse, and whoever does not have. I said, wait a minute, God, if you don't have, why are you going to take it away? It's because they don't have, because they don't appreciate what they have. Therefore, why am I going to give them more? Why am I going to keep on setting them up? Because I'm going to show you how powerful my word is. I'm convinced that the word of God is not the problem. That's why he gave the parable. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell on thorns. Some fell on rocky places. And some fell on good ground. And I'm telling you, I can give you more light. The light ain't the problem. I'm God all by myself. There's nobody like me. I can show you the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'm going to show you why you can depend on the light. And then somebody interrupt Jesus while he was preaching. Verse 19, then his mother and his brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. They were blessed. There was a crowd. It was a whole bunch of folk listening to Jesus. And mother and brothers start pushing up on him, talking about, I got to get to my son. I got to. And all of a sudden, notice the text, and it was told him by some, your mother and your brother, they pushing their way up here. I already had my seat reserved. I'm here, sitting here listening to you, and they're going to push their way up, talking about, I'm Jesus' mother. I'm Jesus' brother. I'm in the VIP. No, you not. I got here last night. I waited all night to sit here to wait on Jesus, and you're going to push your way up? No, I don't think so. It's in the text, and it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, and they desire to see you. Well, Jesus, right in the midst of his sermon, he right in the midst of him rolling, your mother and your brother and your sisters, they want you, and they said, come on outside. And Jesus said this. Now listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, he answered and said, my mother, my brothers, notice what Jesus says. My mother. Now this is kind of like, I'm like, come on, Jesus. That's like an insult. He said, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. That's my real family. Now, can you see, can you imagine Jesus saying, that's my real family? Now notice why he says that. Notice why he says that. Three examples, and I'm going to give you, I'm out the way. I'm finished. I'm done. I'm through. There are three reasons that Jesus gives in Luke chapter 8 why you can depend on his word. Three reasons. And it was there all the time. It was there all the time. We've heard it in isolated ministry or isolated sermons, and the pericope is sometimes broken up, and we don't get the whole context. But if you understand now in Luke chapter 8, he's showing us who belongs to him are those who hear his word and obey it, and where the word falls, if you fall on good ground, it's because they appreciate what they hear. I'm going to keep giving them more light. See, that's the reason why. I don't care how bad you are, God will drop seeds. He'll give you more light. That's why the Bible says the path of the just shines more and more and more, and every step you take, he shines more light on your path. He'll bring people in your life. He'll bring you to a sermon. He'll bring you to a Bible study. He'll bring you to a friend. He'll drop people in your life. He will do it because he's God, and providentially he'll keep shedding light on your path. You begin to ask questions. You begin to inquire. You become curious. You take Bible studies, and that leads you to baptism and a belief in God and discipleship. And that's because God ultimately wants you to believe on his word. And when you believe on the word, in John chapter 8, it says, as many as believed on him, to them he gave power. So you got to believe. You got something in your life right now that's bothering you. Believe. Well, how do I know he can do it? How do I know he can help tame the storms in my life? How do I know he can get me through troubled waters? How do I know he can get me through heartbreak and all the trauma in my life? I'm glad you're asking that question, because if you keep on reading, he gives a story now to illustrate how he can help you through your storm. So the first thing he does is, if there are winds blowing in your life, if there's storms blowing in your life, don't worry about it. I got that. You say, how do I know? Notice what it says in verse 22. Verse 22, I'm almost finished. If y'all can go with me, just watch this. How do I know God's word can get me through? Well, he gives a story after that. Now, it happened on a certain day, and he got into a boat with the disciples, and he said to them, let's cross over to the other side. And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and the windstorm came down from the lake, and they were filling the water, and it was in jeopardy. They were in jeopardy. And there came to him and woke him. Y'all know the story. Master, master, we are perishing. Then he arose up. Now, he arose up. He arose up. Jesus got in the boat, been preaching all day. He's now in the boat, falls asleep. The disciples come to him and said, brother, we about to go down. And Jesus said, it ain't my time yet. He could have given them a Bible study. He could have told them, I'm going to hang on the cross. He could have told them, I'm not going to be stoned. Nobody going to throw me off a cliff. Because on many occasions, they tried to kill Jesus. Y'all know that, right? On one occasion, they tried to get him, and the Bible says he slipped through their midst. Now, how he got through them, I don't know how. On another occasion, they tried to stone him. On another occasion, they tried to throw him off a cliff. They wanted to kill Jesus, but Jesus knew that he was the Lamb of God, and the way he was going to go out, he was going to hang on a cross. That's why he could tell Mary when he said, we ran out of wine. Son, can you help us? And she said, woman, what that got to do with me? My time ain't come yet. My greatest moment will be when I hang on the cross for a sinful world. My greatest moment will come when I spill my blood, when I die on Calvary. My greatest moment will come when I die and hang there for 3 days. But early Sunday morning, when I get up, I'm coming out to give all power. In other words, he said, I know how I'm going to die. So when they woke him up, care is not that we perish. Chill out, brothers. We ain't going down like that. That's good news, y'all. And notice what he says. But he said to them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? And notice what he did. He arose, he rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Is there a storm in your life right now? In other words, he said, is there a storm in your life right now? I've got the power to say to your storm, shut up. That's all he's saying. See, that's why the power is there. That's why he said, if there's a problem in your life right now, if there's a storm brewing in your experience that you don't know how you're going to get through, don't worry. I'm the captain of the ship, and all you've got to do is call on me, and I will answer. Notice what it says. I love the text. And they were afraid and marveled, saying one to another, who can this be? Y'all know who we're rolling with? I can't believe it. I heard him preaching. That was theory. That was class. But he took us out of the class and took us into real life. We in a boat. We're about to perish. He told us that the seed fell among wayside and some fell on the thorns. He told us that he that hear the word will get more. He told us that those who are my mother and brother are those who hear the word and obey it. He said that with his words, but he's showing us in real life that when you're in trouble, if you call on him, he'll stop your storms. That's what good. That's number one. Hold on. I got to hurry up. And notice what it says. And they were afraid and marveled and saying one another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water and they obey him. I mean, can you imagine, you know, the storm stopped and all he said was hush. That's the God I want in my life. That's the God you need. I know there's storms in your life. We all are going through something. We're in something or coming out of something. All of us come here with our issues and drama. We all got something brewing in our lives. Nobody got it made in the shade. We all got issues. The problem is, do you believe God can speak to your storms? Oh, watch this. The next one. All this is a setup in Luke chapter 8. Your homework is read it. Read it. Then he sailed. Then they sailed to the country of Gadarenes. In other words, after he's told the storm to shut up, the Bible says they were going to the Gadarenes, which is the opposite of Galilee. And when he stepped out of the land, there came to him a certain man from the city who had a demon for a long time. That's verse 27. I'm so glad I can read the Bible. I'm so glad I don't have to make it up. I'm so glad I don't have to tell you what I feel or think. I can lean on the word of God. He says there was a demon for a long time, and he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in tombs. The brother lived in tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me. In other words, this demon recognized who Jesus was. He remembered the behind whooping they got in glory. The Bible says there was war in heaven, and the Bible says Michael and his angels fought, and they were kicked out of heaven. So the demon started reminding, oh, man, that's the same one that kicked us out of heaven. Why is he here? How did he show up? And the Bible says, for he commanded, verse 29, for he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. See, again, notice the next one. Not only does he deal with storms, but he's able to deal with demons. You got something in your life right now that's driving you, that won't let you quit. You got something in your life that will not give you the power to say no to the devil. You know, demon possession is not just foaming at the mouth. Demon possession is not just, demon possession, the Bible says, witchcraft comes from disobedience. In other words, you can be possessed because you can be demon possessed by simply disobeying your parents. You can be possessed when you disregard God's word. You know, you have to be possessed by something when you know it's wrong and you do it anyhow. In other words, demons that control and manipulate, we can be delivered from them. And the Bible says he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for he had often seized him. Y'all missed that. He commanded the evil spirit to come out of him. And the Bible says he came out and he permitted them to go into the pigs. In other words, the demons not only come out of him, but they needed permission where to go next. And I'm so glad today, right now, that whatever demon running your life, God can control it. God can give it, God can lead it. God can guide it. And all he's waiting on you and me is to obey his word. And the last one. In fact, it's all in Luke chapter 8. You got to read it. On his way to a person's house, he was called there. The Bible says a woman touched him and she got healed. But see, not only that, not only did she get healed, but notice what the Bible says. While he was speaking, someone came in verse 49 from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Your daughter is dead. The situation seems like it's dead. Does it seem like the marriage is dead? Does it seem like the relationship is dead? Does it seem like your finances is dead? I mean, it's gone beyond being resuscitated. It's gone beyond being on a machine hooked up where it can barely breathe. No, it's dead. Now, in other words, sometimes we want to throw in the towel because we think there's no hope. But I want you to know that there's no problem that God cannot handle. And in his word, his powerful word, he says, just watch what I do. In other words, he can deal with storms, he can deal with demons, and he can deal with even things that are even dead. That's the word of God. That's the word of God. That's all I had to say to you today. Are you troubled in your spirit? You're wondering how you're going to get through? Well, you serve a God that can speak the storms. You serve a God that can speak the demons. You serve a God that can speak to something that was dead and call it back to life. Notice he said he put them out. Verse 54, he took her by the hand and called her. Little girl, arise. I mean, that's some kind of power. You know, many times I go into a situation where somebody may have died. I'll be saying, Lord, can you give me that power for just a minute? I mean, I see crying going on and heartache and heartbreak. I go to a funeral. Jesus had the ability to go to a coffin or to a funeral home and say to a dead, get up. I mean, I know we would clear the house. Y'all be tripping over pews and chairs and going out windows, but that's the power of God. He can say something that's dead, get up. That's the power of God. He can say to it, get up. And the question today is, will we obey him? That's what it boils down to. When his word comes to us, if storms can obey him, if demons can obey him, if something that died can come back to life and obey him, the ultimate question is, will we obey him? My brothers and sisters, it's simple. Some of the seed fell upon wayside. Some of the seeds fell on rocks. Some of the seeds fell among thorns. Where will his word fall in your life? I mean, simple. Where will the seed find lodging in your heart? And if it finds lodging, all you've got to say is, yes, God. Yes, God. That's it. That's what it, you know what? All you got to do, it's that simple. Yes, God. You know how I know that? The Bible says if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and disobey, today, right now, I don't know about you, but I want to say yes to God all over again. If that's your desire to say yes to God, and I want to pray over you, would you just stand with me? You want to say yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Every step of the way, yes, God. That's why you're standing. Yes, God. Yes, God. The power is able to deal with the word. The word of God can deal with your storms. What storms are you going through in your life? Is it a financial storm? Is it a marital storm? Is it a relationship storm? I don't know what storm you're going, but I want to promise you, I want to reassure you that God can deal with it. Whatever storm you're going through, are you dealing with a habit you can't overcome? Are you dealing with a situation that seems like you're under demonic attack? He can deal with demons. Are you dealing with something that you have thrown in the towel and say, I can't. Well, today, right now, I'm praying for you. Father, your children are standing. I realize how inadequate I am and how many times, Lord, I feel like I can't do this. But you said in your word that the promise is not unto him that starts off the fastest, but to him that endureth to the end. And today, Lord, your children are standing because they are they're reaffirming their faith. They're saying yes to you all over again. I don't know what situations they might be in and what circumstances they're going through. But you have reassured us today that there's power in your word. And that your word is able to deal with our storms. You're able to deal with our habits. And even if the situation has gone so far that it is dead, you can resurrect it. And so, Lord, right now I'm praying for each of us. But then, Lord, as we're praying this prayer, there's somebody who said, I need to go a little further. I need to be baptized. I need to be a member of a Bible-believing church. I need to give my life to Jesus Christ. While we're praying this prayer, eyes are closed and heads are bowed. For that person who feels in their heart, I need to go a little further. I'm going to ask you to just come on down to the front and take a seat. We're praying. We're praying right now. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. For whoever that person is, you want to say, God, I need to go a little further. I need to be baptized. I need to become a part of a Bible-believing congregation. I want to be a part of a people who believe the word from Genesis to Revelation. I want to be baptized. I want to walk with the Lord. I want to be a disciple for Christ. Father God, I pray for every person, every believer, every family that's standing right now, that you'll give us your grace, give us your strength, so that when you come, you'll save us at last. Father, I thank you for your love reminding us that all we've got to do is trust you. The songwriter says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Lord, we walk by faith, not by sight. You said, look to the hills, for our help comes from you. Cover each of our believers today, right now. And Father, when you come back, I pray that you'll save us all in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.